Most people, at some point in your life, you've probably dealt with people who are difficult, demanding, and enjoy conflict. It can be exhausting, confronting, and stressful. But it's highly likely you've been in a workplace relationship or even a family unit with one of them. People who are difficult and demanding can be emotional, they can be aggressive, and instead of negotiating or collaborating with you, they're quick to turn situations into power struggles. And having to deal with that over a long period of time can be incredibly draining. Tomorrow night, there's a sold-out event. This is part of the Raising the Bar initiative that Norwood, St. Peter's and Paynham Council do. And you can see, well, you could have seen my speaker at Reform Distilling in Kentown, but her event is already sold out. So we're going to give you a sneak preview of what she might be talking about and how she can help you dealing with difficult and demanding people in your life. She's a social worker, mediator and conflict skills coach. Her name is Elizabeth Williamson. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Jules. Lovely to speak with you.
It's lovely to speak to you. So what's a conflict skills coach?
Well, I've done training in mediation and also a certified Gottman therapist and family therapist. So understanding the skills that it takes to resolve conflicts, because we don't learn them well in our families, we don't teach them in our schools, we don't really explore them in, you know, many workplaces. So being able to coach people to understand what really works is essential, because lots of the time we actually end up doing things that don't work and we do them again and again and again. And the same thing happens, and then we blame the other person for the fact that what we're doing isn't working to resolve, you know, an argument or a conflict.
Most people seek to avoid conflict or arguments, Elizabeth. You know, we attempt to diffuse things, negotiate. You know, it's stressful for many, many people. How many people are there? Is there a study on what percentage of people kind of rise to conflict or get emotional and start arguing or bickering with you?
Well, Bill Eddy, who has been researching this for a long time, is an American social worker and divorce lawyer. So he's been right in the middle of it all. And he runs the High Conflict Institute. And he would estimate about 10% of the population are conflict-driven. So that might mean that someone says, I don't like conflict, but they keep ending up in arguments, or they keep having frustrations with friendships that escalate over time, and through to the people who need to be right all the time, are provocative, or just, you know, throw bad moods around. If I'm in a bad mood, everyone else is going to join me.
I mean, often we see this, especially with children or teenagers or people we live with, and it happens a lot in workplaces, Elizabeth. Mm. When someone is quick to, you know, to engage in conflict, to become difficult and demanding, what do you do? Because it's easy to match their energy, to also get agitated. They accuse you of something, you accuse them of something, and, you know, and nothing really constructive happens. So how do you diffuse it?
Well, that's true. You know, because our brains are wired to respond emotionally and behaviourally to what we see another person doing. So we have these things called mirror neurons in our brains. So if we see someone smiling, you see this in babies, right? They smile right back. That's how we learn it. And if someone's angry or aggressive, then we tend to have, you know, one of three responses, which is to fight, to flight, or, you know, to sort of get a bit lost and hide. So what I've done is, over the years, is developed a very simple model, a six-step model, which I call conflict confidence. Because most people don't like conflict, and because people end up doing things they would prefer not to do, or avoiding it, or, you know, regretting losing their temper, I wanted to find a very simple way of helping people understand, first of all, what are the clues that you need to look for with someone who you think you can negotiate with and that could work, or someone who is definitely out to win at all costs and negotiation is never going to work. And in particular, how can you stay calm and centered when someone else's emotions are escalating? And how can you also stay calm enough to help them reduce their emotional intensity, which you can learn to do? So there's a number of steps. There's six steps that I'll be talking about tomorrow evening. I'm just excited because I am about to launch a new ebook tomorrow night at my talk called Conflict Confidence, Dealing with Different Demanding People. And I've just started negotiations with a publisher about a full version of the book.
So, Elizabeth, I mean, one of the tactics that I'm sure many people employ, if someone has been, you know, difficult and engaging in conflict and, you know, making you kind of justify your actions, is just to walk away and think that things will cool down and approach them later. But often that doesn't work. I mean, what do you think of just the shut the door and leave the room type of approach? Does that work long term?
Not long term, but I mean, you just get overwhelmed and you just got to step away because your heart rate has risen and your breathing is rapid and you feel frightened and overwhelmed. And so you're in that full flight, fight, freeze experience. And so that brain, our brain that, you know, rushes to see danger takes over the more logical part of our thinking. It does take about 20, 30 minutes to calm down. So sometimes it's really wise to say, look, I think if I continue to talk about this, I'm going to do everything wrong. I'm talking about this in half an hour when both calm down. That's a wise move. But just going, oh, look, I can't deal with this and walking away, predictably will not work because you're going to step right back into the same problem. And, of course, once you repeatedly go through, you know, the same argument, every time you enter it, you're just that little bit more escalated and a little bit more anxious or angry, so the conflict, you know, fuels really quickly. I guess it's the challenge we have is learning how to deal with our own discomfort and somebody else's discomfort about a contentious matter well enough to calm ourselves, and that's a skill which is about, you know, there's some very simple techniques with breathing and with just working with your body that you can do that nobody else would know you're doing, just to calm the situation down, to get that heart rate down, to get slower breath happening, so that you can think more clearly. And because of those wonderful mirror neurons, the other person's energy level is going to decrease a little bit too, because they're going to see you and copy your energy a little bit. So you can get a whole lot more control that way.
You're listening to Elizabeth Williamson. She's a social worker, mediator and conflict skills coach, and she's addressing a sold-out event tomorrow night as part of the Raising the Bar program that Norwood, Paynham and St Peter's Council do. They have a whole lot of talks in pubs tomorrow night, and Elizabeth, her talk was one of the first to be sold out, so we're interested in getting a preview of what she might be talking about or where you can get more information on her skills, which are how to diffuse conflict, whether it's in your workplace or your family or just in your personal life. Elizabeth, often when people are, you know, will turn a situation into a power struggle, disagree with you on something, and it's kind of quite petty and it gets emotional, you kind of feel that there's no point debating them because they've already made up their minds. I mean, is there any way to put sense into a conversation that becomes emotional and aggressive?
Yes, I think the trick is to... What we often do is we get very... engaged in trying to convince or persuade the other person, particularly when it's a petty matter or something that you know they're really, I guess, focused on, and we can't see the sense of it. So we'll also try and get very logical and a little bit condescending, maybe. And none of that actually works. It's better to be quite concise because you want to retain your energy because that person's really fired up. So that's one of the steps that I talk about, how to look after your energy level so you're not exhausted when someone is out to exhaust you or, you know, have a tantrum or raise something minor. So there are some very simple things you can do. You can certainly say, look, I think I have to agree to disagree on this one. It's clearly important to you. It's really helpful to notice the emotion of the other person, maybe take your response down a peg or two so that you're calming the situation. Look, I think this is really important to you, but I'm not sure that it's the best thing to focus on right now. Why don't we, and then you can just, you know, move the subject along. Or you can agree to disagree. And the other thing you can do is just admit a little bit of a mistake. You know, if you say to someone, look, I think I might have got some of this wrong, and then just stay very calm and say nothing more, but, you know, without it being a problem, that diffuses a lot of things, because once you go, well, yeah, okay, I made a mistake, and you don't, and you're not upset about it, you're not defending it, you're not trying to justify anything, you just go, yeah, you know, that happens. There's not a lot of argument then.
Are some people, Elizabeth, just so driven towards conflict that it's best just to get them out of your life? I know that's not possible with people in your own family or extended family, but are some people, I mean, people are texting about narcissists and people who are kind of looking to always win and put you down to make themselves feel good, or are there some situations where you should just go, look, this person, for whatever reason, is just constantly belittling me, putting me down, starting fights, and I just have to get away from them?
Absolutely. Sometimes you do have to, I mean, you have to make decisions that are wise about your well-being, and you also need to have to make decisions about what's possible in this relationship. And so, you know, highly controlling people, you know, we know that coercive control is a form of abuse.
Mm.
So I think one of the things that a conflict coach often does with someone is help them work out, where are my limits and what am I actually responsible for? So, you know, in the last couple of days, I've worked with two different people, one on a family matter, because sometimes you do have people in your family that you will realise that you're going to have a very limited relationship with. But how can I limit that so that it's not going to escalate tensions around other people in the family? And then I've also worked with someone who, well, she's about to do 10 years in her job, and she wants her 10 years because she'll get along seamlessly. And our workplace is just crazy. You know, small business, small family business, and the family have their arguments right in front of everybody in the business.
What? Okay. Sounds like a lot of families, yes.
Yeah, it does. So we're working on a plan that she gets her through the next, you know, 3-4 months so that she can leave on her terms but stay sane in the process.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because often when you're in conflict with someone, I think especially in your own family or someone you work with, you know, the amount it takes out of you to engage in those arguments can often have an effect on your mental health more than theirs, Elizabeth. You know, so people can kind of go downhill quite quickly if they're constantly kind of fighting with someone else. And so you really need to protect yourself from that.
That's true, absolutely. And so there's a couple of things that's really important to consider. One is having clear enough boundaries about what you'll accept, what you'll compromise on, and what you will not stand for, what you will not tolerate. And then maybe having some support. And often what I'm doing in coaching people is helping them work those things out, and then how they're actually going to do that in a way that doesn't escalate the conflict. But it's vitally important to have someone that you can talk to, because when you're in the middle of a conflict, and myself, exactly the same, I can't see things clearly. And you can guarantee in any conflict, work, family, on a committee, you know, in a community group, no one will see the story the same way. Everyone will have a different story, because we're generally the centre of our conflict stories. You know, it's all about us. Now, people who are really conflict-driven, they don't care about anybody else in the story. They've written the whole story. They've cast everybody in particular roles. They may play that story out again and again and again in their lives. Whereas what it's good to learn is, you know, can I read the clues about what I think's happening here? Can I test that out, see if there's evidence that proves that my theory is right? And if so, then in the model that I do around conflict confidence, what can I do that I know predictably will work to take things in the direction that I want to go in?
Mm.
And as I said before, most people in conflict, because they don't like it, predictably do things that don't work and then keep doing them and then blame the other person. So having someone you can talk to who's a good ally, and that's actually the last part of my model, you know, check in. Don't do this alone, particularly with people who are conflict-driven or narcissistic or, you know, paranoid, or, you know, we're borderline personality, any of that sort of stuff. You definitely need some resources. And professional resources will help you with your mental health and your well-being. But, you know, having a wise counsel from a good friend whose approach to relationships you admire, maybe, you know, you set a time limit, go, over the next, you know, 2 or 3 months, can I check in with you while I try and, you know, solve this problem? Can we meet for coffee once a month or something, once a week? Just while I'm trying to make some changes. But of course, the important thing is to know what the changes are.
Mm.
And that's why I've put together the conflict confidence model, because There's nothing, most people think confidence is an emotion, but in fact it's a skill. And it's the skill of predicting with reasonable certainty the outcome of your action. And what we do in conflict is we're negatively confident. We predict failure all the time. I know this isn't going to work, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I'd like to teach people how to be positively confident so that we can reduce the amount of conflict we have in our lives, in our families, and make a bit more peace in every conversation we have.
Hallelujah to that. And people are saying, oh, why are you promoting things once they're sold out? Well, A, because it is sold out, so we're giving you a chance to hear a little bit of what Elizabeth Williamson would have told you if you were able to get a ticket. But Elizabeth, also, you can go to, you've got a free ebook people can download on this. That's right,
as well. We're just revising it, so wait till tomorrow because we're going to launch tomorrow a revised ebook. And because there's been so much interest in the talk, I'm going to do a free webinar later this week on Thursday. I'm having, I'll make a social media comment about that because I've got builders in my house and trying to find the window that will work for that.
Well,
but we're certainly going to do it.
Hopefully you're not in conflict with the builders, Elizabeth.
No, I have a rule in my business that I work with people who love what they do and with people they like. And so the rule there is if you don't like something, talk about it. You must talk about it. You can't come and be grumpy. You can't be grumpy. We will sort it out. And I want people to play to their best. So I have a great builder. He's just a delight to have around, and his team is too. So that's
good to hear. Elizabeth, so, look, I think this is, a lot of people live with conflict in their lives, demanding, difficult people, and I think any advice we can get on how to diffuse that and maintain our sanity, I should say, is valuable. Elizabeth, have a great chat tomorrow night. Thanks for giving us a preview on the show today. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk, and there will be some information on my Facebook page and on LinkedIn. If you look for Elizabeth Williamson Solutions about those two free webinars, one lunchtime and one evening one.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. Elizabeth Williamson, social worker, mediator and conflict skills coach. You're listening to Jewel Schiller. It is ABC Radio Adelaide.